The sermon this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. Please turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 21. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." If you address the Father, the one who impartially judges, if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Pray with me. Our God, we come before you needy. We need your help to give us understanding. I need your help to proclaim clearly. So God, help now. God, help me as I bring your word and your truth. Father, make it adequate through your Spirit. And Father, impact lives now. Help us to be attentive to your word. Help us to be committed to change. Change that glorifies you. And Father, give us the strength to do it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I recently heard of a man who decided he wanted to be a law enforcement officer. He went to the police academy. He did fine in the police academy. He came out and he became a police officer. Later after that, I heard that the man had been asked to resign. When I asked why, they said that he was simply too nice. They didn't think he had the mentality to be a police officer. As I began to think about that, what would that mean for a police officer to be too nice? I imagine that anybody he pulled over, if a lady got a tear in her eye, he would let her off. I imagine that if somebody had a pretty good excuse for speeding, he would let them go. And then my mind went even further, and I imagined that he decided not to carry a gun because it might make people uncomfortable. And then for the same reason, he'd stop wearing his uniform altogether because people treated him differently and he just wanted to get along with everyone. Although you and I might like to meet a police officer like that in times of speeding or any other time, I think you can see that our world would be in chaos if we didn't have law enforcers that actually enforced the law. If we had officers that showed up so utterly unprepared. Well, as we look at this passage here, we see that there's a preparation that's supposed to be for us in verse 13. It says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action." Christians are supposed to have their minds prepared for action. There is this great work that is supposed to be done, a great work that is supposed to be accomplished by the church, and that is you. And this is all set up there in verse 13 with a therefore, talking about this great salvation that we've received. this great rescue that we have, this great rescue that we live in. Because of this, it says, because of all of this, set your minds for action. And that's the call this morning. In light of God's great salvation for you, set your minds for action. This is simply for you to be the church that you've been called to be. To be the believers that you are called to be. A life of action. See, there are certain things expected from those who would serve and protect. They are expected to show up in a uniform. They're expected to have their guns ready for action. Or they're no police officers at all. But as we consider who we are we Christians at all? Do we live as Christians at all? Are our minds set for the action that we're called to? So first, look with me at verses 10 through 12. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. So first, prepare your mind for action, because the prophets of old were serving you. I marvel at this. Marvel at this, that the prophets of old were serving us. You think of Moses going before Pharaoh, and as he went and risking his life, humanly speaking, saying, "Let my people go." Who's actually serving you? As Moses wandered 40 years in the wilderness with a bunch of whiners. 40 years with a bunch of whiners. He was serving you. As you consider David having his son betray him. David penning the Psalms on the run. He was serving you. As you consider Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, all of them serving you. As you consider Hosea taking a harlot for a wife, all of this was serving you. And as Jeremiah wept the length of his ministry, all of this was serving you. We marvel at all of these things, but even greater than this, we see in verse 20 that even Christ appeared for the sake of you. You see, there's this great history that's leading up actually to you. Prophets of old leading up to you. The King of glory, leaving glory, coming to earth, leading up to you. And it says, because of all of these things, because of these 6,000 years of history, because of these things, set your mind for action. Set your mind for action. And what action are you called to? We're called to proclaim. Called to proclaim Christ. Called to proclaim this great salvation that we've known. And we're called to live holy lives in these passages. That is, called to throw off every sin. Next, look with me at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. What is this gospel? What's it mean, the gospel? I ask people all the time, what do you think the gospel is? What do you think the gospel is? What is the gospel? What is the gospel? What is the gospel? I hope you know that I really want you to get this. The gospel is the good news. What good news? What good news? I ask all the time, what good news? How many of you are out there today in need of some good news? Well, it's not just the good news. It's actually the best news. It's the good news that there was this warring kingdom out there. The kingdom of God was against you. Here's the bad news. The kingdom of God is against you. You were in a pit of destruction like we sang about in Psalm 48. And from there, this message comes to you. A message of good news. The message where God says through His Spirit, you know, you don't have to be destroyed. You know, you don't have to stay in that pit of destruction. You can be reconciled to me because of what Christ did. See, I'm telling you now, set your minds for action because the message from heaven has been brought to you. You see, I used to have these delusions that I could beat up anybody. I used to have these delusions that I could beat anything. At one point in my childhood, I was pretty convinced that I could beat up a Tyrannosaurus Rex if I just had a pretty good sword. And then one day I went to the museum and I saw the skeleton of a Tyrannosaurus Rex and I saw its claws that big around. And I thought, oh no, turns out I'm dumb. I had a delusion as a child that, yeah, I could probably beat up a whole army. That wouldn't be so bad. And then one day, I think I just saw too many Rambo movies. Then one day I was on a beach and I looked and I saw an army helicopter come sailing down with its machine guns on the side. And for some reason the pilot had the guns pointing back and forth at the people on the beach. And I thought, you know, that's pretty dumb. I don't think I could beat up an army now. I remember I thought I could beat these two guys that were bigger than me. I don't know why I thought that. I discovered, yeah, I was pretty dumb. And I couldn't beat up those two guys that were bigger than me. You know, we walk through this life thinking that maybe we could handle God's judgment. I'll tell you, if you think that, you're pretty dumb. God is awesome. He is mighty. He's powerful. He's bigger than a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He's more powerful than a helicopter with machine guns all over it. And the bad news is if you've ever broken one of His laws, you're guilty before Him. And you deserve hell forever. That's why the good news that comes from heaven is so important. The good news that comes from heaven is that Christ took every crime that you ever did, put them on Himself, and He went and died the death that you deserve on the cross. And so now, you and I sit here, if we trust in Christ, if we trust in that sacrifice, if we trust Him as our Savior, the one who died to save us, if we believe in Him as our Lord, that means He's our God, that we follow Him, we love Him, the good news is that we're rescued. The good news is that you sit in this pew now and God looks at you and He smiles and He says, Son. He looks at you now and smiles and says, My daughter, My prince, My princess, you are reconciled. That's the good news. And I marvel that we look at this and it says, the good news that was preached, it was the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven. The idea that from heaven, that kingdom that was coming, the kingdom that is coming, is going to destroy everything that's not kingdom. A message came from there to you, this gospel preached through the Holy Spirit. With this message from heaven by the Holy Spirit brought to you, this good news, set your minds for action. Set your minds for action, for obedience and for proclamation. Next. Set your mind for action because you are a part of the building climax of world history. Verses 12 and 13. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. Therefore, gird your minds for action. You see, God's prophets in the Old Covenant longed to know what you now know. We see in verses 10 and 11. You think of David longing to know, like these hands and feet pierced. Who's that going to be? Who's this Christ going to be whose hands and feet are pierced? When is he going to come? As Daniel prophesied, as Isaiah prophesied, longing to know what you actually know. And the idea that angels long to know what you can know. The mighty ones of heaven sit now and look at us and think, huh, they get it. I wish we got it. I wish we could understand what's even being proclaimed now. And now we see that there's a purpose for this. There's a purpose for you, the church. It's revealed in Ephesians 3, 8 through 11. As Paul says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of God and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. And here it is. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are a part of the building climax of church history, of world history. Through you, the governments are supposed to understand who Christ is. Through you, all the nations are supposed to understand who Christ is. This is your commission. This is your great commission that you have been given this work to do. How blessed are we? How blessed are we? I imagine most of you have seen the imagery of the Olympic torch being carried. How they take this thing and they run along with it and they pass it to someone else and they run along with it and they keep going and going and going. And then they light this big thing and everybody looks at, ooh, at the ceremony. And everyone that carried a torch gets to go, I helped do that. I helped light that torch. You see, this torch was started in Genesis and it was carried through the Old Testament for thousands of years. It was brought to the New Testament. It was carried by the apostles. And it was passed on and it was passed on and it was passed on. And it's been brought over to the United States of America. And this torch is handed to you. And you are to take it and you are to pass it and pass it. And in the final day, when Christ appears in his glory and he shines like the sun, you'll say, wow, I got to be a part of that. You see, we are in the last days. We are in the last days. And this is the time to proclaim. This is the time to tell who Christ is, who Jesus Christ is, and what Jesus Christ has done. This is what you're for. This is what you are made for. You find yourself miserable. Do you find yourself empty? Do you find yourself lacking in purpose? If so, it's because you haven't embraced this. You haven't embraced this. You're not holding your torch, you're not running. You're not looking forward with joy and hope to Christ's glorious appearance. You haven't set your mind up for action. So set your mind for action. Set your mind for action, proclaiming this good news. Next, set your mind for action, keeping sober in spirit. We see again in verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. You see, we're dealing with the idea of people acting like drunks. I remember the first party that I ever went to as a teenager where there was drinking. I was just surprised that no one was walking around hiccuping bubbles, as I had seen in the cartoons. That's what I had expected. But what I really saw was people staggering around. I saw people tripping. I saw people falling. I saw people just being idiots. And here God warns us, be sober in spirit. be sober in spirit. John MacArthur explains, spiritual sober-mindedness includes the ideas of steadfastness, being steadfast in your thinking, includes the idea of self-control. It includes the idea of clarity of mind and moral decisiveness. The sober Christian is correctly in charge of his priorities and not intoxicated with very allurements of the world. Steadfastness in thinking, with your priorities lined up, with the gospel being the priority of your life, knowing that this is what you were made for. We may look sober. We may look sober in our judgment. But the reality of our hearts and our souls can be that we're just staggering around. Not focused on the gospel, not focused on Christ, not focused on where we're going, and not focused on bringing as many people along as we can. If that's not our focus, we're not sober-minded. We're not spiritually sober. We are actually staggering around, running after this to fulfill us, running after that to fulfill us, running after this for joy. And we're drunks. We're weaklings. But God says, in light of all these truths, be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. That is to set your mind on Christ and make Him your goal. Next, look with me at verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I tell my children when we talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ, kids, He's going to tear the sky. He is going to rip the sky open, and He's going to be there shining, and everyone who doesn't know Him, and maybe even us that do know Him, are going to fall down in terror and dread. The revelation of Jesus Christ is going to be a terrifying thing initially. For those who love Him, it'll turn glorious and beautiful as we are called up to meet Him in the air. For those who do not love Him and embrace Him as Lord and Savior, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever. So what is your hope? What is your hope as you look forward to this day and know that this day is coming? We see in verse 13, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. And what is grace? I'm going to take it and I'm going to say the word is charity. Charity. Many of us reject the idea of charity. No, I won't take charity. No, I won't take a handout. But you're saved by charity. You are saved by charity. You would face God's wrath and judgment if not for charity and grace. So now as you sit in this pew, as you imagine the sky being torn open and all earth fleeing from His presence, what is your hope? Is it, well, I've been pretty good. I've done more good than bad. I've never been drunk. I have never killed anyone. I've never robbed a bank. I'm a pretty good guy. Again, one crime sends you to the lake. Unless your hope is completely on the grace that is the charity in Jesus Christ to be saved. And then you are embraced. See, we don't need to run after sinful things for joy and peace. But we simply embrace the joy of grace, knowing that we have been forgiven. Next, look with me at verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance, in verses 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God tells you to be holy. Tells you to be holy. That is perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So clean. No spot. No wrinkle. Perfect. There's another meaning for holy. The word actually comes down to something being cut. Cut apart. You think of having this nice steak and this fat on it, and you take the knife and you cut it and you separate the fat from it, and you've got this good steak left. No, you're supposed to be cut and set apart from everything that's filthy. You're to be cut and set apart for good and perfect uses. I don't know if you can think of something that's set apart for one use and not for anything else. And if it's used for one use, it's disgusting and it's despicable. Think of a toothbrush. You have a toothbrush and you use that for brushing your teeth. If someone used that to clean something else, you can use your own imagination. It's disgusting and it's despicable and you would never want to use it for your toothbrush again. You see, you are set apart for something beautiful. You are set apart for something holy and something perfect. And instead, we run after filth. We run after garbage. Stop it. Stop it. Pick your sins, name them in your mind right now, and decide to stop them. Decide to stop them through Christ. His power, His grace, His love. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He gives you rest for your souls. And then from this place, we set our minds for action. We set our minds to proclaim. We set our minds to holiness. See, are we the police officer that doesn't police? Or the officer that shows up without his gun, without his uniform? The officer that just wanders around, drunk? See, you're called to something greater than being a police officer. You're called sons and daughters of God who have the purpose to proclaim and to live holy lives. You haven't been given a police officer uniform. You haven't been given a little badge. You haven't been given a gun. Been given robes of righteousness. Been given breastplates of righteousness. You've been given the sword of the Spirit. Is this to sit around? Is this to sit around and drink in? Is this for being drunken? No. This is for pressing forward for the kingdom of God. This is for you to fulfill your great purpose. As history climaxes, as we look forward to the coming of Christ, you're to take your light and to let it shine. You are to glorify Christ in everything that you do and look forward to enjoying Him forever. Set your minds for action, church. Set your minds for action. Choose now even the people you'll proclaim to. Choose the people you will proclaim to and share the good news with. Commit to these actions so Christ will be more and more glorified in your life. Pray with me. God, thank you for your word and for your truth. And work in us as your people to set our minds for action, living holy lives and proclaiming your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.